Hello?
Hey, what's up?
Oh, you know, the use.
Scraping by?
Scraping by.
Hi, I'm Cassidy.
And I'm Alex, and you're listening to Scraping By. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. We have had, honestly, quite an uneventful week.
Yeah, pretty uneventful. Just some mini horrors.
Lots of work for me. I don't know.
Lots of not work for me. I was supposed to hear back. From a job on last Thursday or Friday. Did not hear back, so I called them back yesterday, which was Monday for us. And nobody responded. Nobody picked up, and I have not heard back today. So
he got ghosted by his job.
Yeah, I got ghosted
interview.
By the nonprofit.
Oh my god.
What else? I was having some jaw pain for a couple weeks, so I went to the dentist because I like couldn't chew like things very much. I was like eating soft foods, and then I got to the dentist and the assistant like took me back, gave me a little x-ray, and then I waited around for a little while, and then the dentist came in, and the dentist did not mention the x-ray. He was like, oh, like there's this YouTube channel with this doctor on it, and just look her up and then look through her videos and see which one of them matches kind of like the symptoms you're experiencing the most. And then just watch that and see what she says to do.
This is what your degree got me. This is what my appointment.
She was literally just like, look it up on YouTube, basically. And I was like, okay.
Why am I here?
Why did I come here? Yeah, there was not a copay, thank God. Because if there was, I would have. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no. I would have refused to pay a copay on an appointment like that. Are you joking?
Yeah.
No way. That is not happening.
Yeah, and I already had to get it. the appointment rescheduled once because they were like, oops, we like booked it wrong or something like that.
Oh my god.
But anyway, now it has like gone away on its own for the most part now, just because I've continued to not eat very difficult to chew foods. And what else has been happening? We've been climbing a lot.
Yeah,
we've kind of been eating.
We have. Alex specifically has been eating when he goes to the rock gym.
I did get this one. What was it, a 510? That black one on the corner?
Yeah. Yep.
Where I was, like, sandwiched between the walls in the corner and grabbing onto, like, shreds of rock.
Yeah, like a fraction of a concept of a hold.
And when we first started, I was, like, I looked at that and I was, like, there's no way I'm ever going to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, bam. So.
No, I sit there. I have so many videos of Alex climbing, so I'm just sitting there, like, cheering him on. I'm like, yes! Eat that up!
Yeah, so that's been fun this week.
Yeah.
What else? I had to repaint my bumper over the summer because I got rear-ended, and I wanted to keep the insurance money, so I like bought a spray paint kit and did it myself. And then a couple days ago, I accidentally backed into a car.
It came out of nowhere. It was parked.
But the car, nothing happened to the other car. I like wrote a note, put it on the car. Nothing happened to their car. And then I was going to the grocery store yesterday, and I was walking away from my car, and I, like, looked back when I was, like, just to make sure that, like, the lights flashed when I locked it, and then I saw that the paint is, like, crumbling off the back where I repainted it. I think I, like, didn't sand it enough or something, so the paint isn't sticking that well, and now it's just, like, peeling off. And I was already having a shitty day, so I was like, god damn it.
Really, like, the nail in the coffin. Like, oh, well.
Yeah. So that's another horror.
Yeah,
I also fell asleep to gunshots the other night.
Oh, but. Yeah. The place that we live, honestly, there's always, like, that question, because we hear, at least I do, and me and him live pretty close. Yeah, we hear loud noises pretty frequently, and I'm always like, was that a gunshot, or was it fireworks?
Yeah, and I'm always questioning it, too. But yeah. Then when I heard these the other night, and I was like, yeah, those are what gunshots sound like.
I needed that reminder. That was it, actually. Yeah. Yeah, this week for me, I haven't done too much. I worked a bunch, which is so fun. I did, however, we have a reoccurring mold issue in our apartment, and it came back again, of course, because it will, as it does. And they basically are like, they told us, they're like, okay, well, it seems like it's a foundation issue, as in, like, and I'm not a contractor, but basically, I guess when they were building the apartment, they didn't properly seal the foundation, so now, and we're ground level, so now there's, like, water perpetually coming into our apartment, basically.
Yeah. The mold is, the floor is just, like, black
mold. The floor is mold. No, not actually. That's horrifying.
Well, in one of the corners, it really
it's
is.
It's one of the corner, actually two of the corners, unfortunately. Love. But they were like, basically like, yeah, well, it's kind of too expensive to fix, so we're going to give you a dehumidifier. A dehumidifier for mold that is happening on the floor because the water keeps getting in the foundation.
It's not the air that's causing the mold.
Literally. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, well, what do I do when it comes back? They're like, well, we're hoping. I'm like, this is not the solution. I guarantee. Anywho, I have...
Your floor is rotting.
Literally.
You're going to get, like, black mold poisoning, and they're going to keep your security deposit.
Yep. I will not see a shred of my security deposit, and now I have a fucking ginormous, loud dehumidifier in the middle of my apartment that I don't want because it's not going to do anything. Anywho, that's my rant. Oh, and then... So we have a TikTok page for this podcast.
Plug it.
Yeah, we have a TikTok page. It's Scraping By.
We have four to five followers.
Actually, we have 22
seriously?
Now. Yeah, oh my God. Seriously. We've been getting popular.
I accidentally deleted TikTok, or I deleted it because I wanted to take a break, and then it got, like, banned, so I can't get it back now.
So if you see the social media, if you see the TikTok, it's me.
Yeah.
And I basically just use it to, like, shitpost because it's fun. But I had two videos go, like, baby viral. Like, one of them has, like, 1,100 likes, and then another one has, like, 3,000-something. Anywho, one of mine, I posted, what did it say? It said POV. I was, like, a video of me, like, baking. Like, POV, I'm baking because I'm not a member of the party that storms the Capitol when I don't like the election results. Oh, my God. I opened up a gate to hell. The conservatives have sniffed me out and tore me to shreds. Honestly, not really, though. Like, they're just mad. They're mad. They're mad that, like, a pretty liberal popped up on their For You page. But, no, they are, like, the amount of go make me a sandwich comments I'm getting, I'm like, oh, my God. Can you come up with something? If you're going to, like, be misogynistic, can you at least come up with something creative? I've heard it a million times. Come on.
Yeah, elevate that misogyny. Come on now.
Come on now. Like, come up with something original. Please. I'm begging you. Anywho, that... So, actually, yeah, this is a call. If you don't follow our TikTok, can you go follow it and make fun of the conservatives that are making misogynistic comments, too? Because I am fighting them by myself right now. It's a big responsibility.
And speaking of horrors, today's topic is going to be about incels, red pilling, black pilling, and the manosphere in general. So we're going to start off with a few definitions just so we can lay the groundwork for the episode. Basically, an incel, if you don't know what an incel is, it's short for involuntary celibate. I got a few of these definitions from the Colorado Info Analysis Center, an article called Incel Ideology, Radicalization, and Mental Health, a Survey Study. And they define incels as an online community of men who feel disenfranchised because they're unable to find a romantic and sexual partner. They tend to blame society for placing too much value in physical appearance and for endowing women with too much power in mate selection. And they believe in biological determinism, particularly the 80-20 rule, which is the idea that 80% of women desire only 20% of men, because it's basically the idea that all women only choose men based on looks and, like, want, like, rich, attractive masculinity ideal, like, man, which they call the Chad, is like the archetype that they have created. And then the archetype they've created for women is called a Stacy, which is a quote, attractive, sexually promiscuous, vain, and obsessed with jewelry, makeup, and clothes. So clearly we've got some misogyny pouring in here.
Yeah.
To start off with. And we drew some information from a study which actually looked at, it was just like, it surveyed 274 self-proclaimed incels. Most of them are white. Most of them, I think there was actually, it was like 99% women. I mean, men. There was like one woman, which I was like, what? But
girl,
anyway.
Stand up.
most of them reported mental health issues and psychological trauma of bullying or persecution, which we'll sort of get into later, like some of the reasons why people are vulnerable and drawn to like the incel community and stuff like that. And we'll reference this survey again later on, but the term red pilling, which is important to the episode, a lot of people may already know what this is, but red pilling is, quote, realizing that men don't hold systemic power or privilege and taking on the belief that women hold power socially, economically, and sexually. And then red pilling has, the phrase has also been adopted to describe the awakenings of other far right and white supremacist groups.
Sounds that like term. A party.
Yeah. Yeah. And then black pilling is sort of just like a more extreme version of red pilling, takes the ideas of red pilling, but then it also adds the belief that the red pilled people have no control to change these things because of biological determinism, like we talked about, and lookism, which is the idea that women choose men exclusively based on looks. And there's two primary routes and beliefs that the black-pilled people take. One of them is either that they accept their fate as an incel and that they'll always be an incel, basically, or that they try to change society to their benefit, typically by means of mass violence rather than political or social methods of change. But it is important to note that most incels are not violent, but there is a connection. So, and that's something we'll look at a little bit more later. Do you want to talk about the manosphere?
Yeah. So according to a 2020 article titled "The Incel Ideology Continues to Build a Strong Following in the Online Manosphere," the manosphere can be understood as a decentralized network of websites, gaming platforms, and chat rooms imbued with a heavy sense of misogyny and significant overlap with other violent ideologies, including but not limited to right-wing extremism and white supremacy.
Ew.
Fun. All right, now that we've kind of laid the framework for the rest of the episode with those terms, we are going to get into the origin of the manosphere and incel ideology, and I'll be getting all of my information for this section from a study titled "Swallowing and Spitting Out: The Red Pill, Young Men, Vulnerability, and Radicalization Pathways in the Manosphere." Notably, the manosphere is primarily an online community. It's believed to have originated on Reddit in 2012, but is still very much alive on Reddit as well as other platforms. Notably, the utilization of the term red pill originated from the movie The Matrix, which is from 1999. If you haven't seen it, I feel like a lot of people have seen it.
I haven't even seen it, so no.
You need to watch that. It's actually really good. Also, a side note, The Matrix was created by two trans women, Lily and Lana Wachowski. So it's extremely ironic to me that misogynists are utilizing a metaphor created by women to basically explain their hatred for women. Nonetheless, in The Matrix, the protagonist must decide whether to take the blue pill, which would allow him to remain complacent and ostensible in the realities of the world, or take the red pill, which would essentially wake him up to the harsh truth of the world.
The truth?
The truth.
The red pill is the truth.
I know, they really took that and ran with it. Like, yeah. This was not the point. Anywho, the manosphere can be understood as an online space where men's rights activism takes place and is comprised of incels, MGTOW, which is Men Go Their Own Way, and pickup artists. Notably, all of those groups are different and do operate in different ways, but they all do adhere to red pill ideology, which is basically just a collection of anti-feminist beliefs that support male supremacy. The red pill ideology is a coalescence of ideologies that maintain male supremacy. Basically, it upholds evolutionary psychological beliefs that men and women have developed contrasting reproductive tendencies, in which women only desire alpha men, as in those who are conventionally attractive, have access to social mobility and capital. Red pill ideology upholds that certain men innately have greater sexual market value, which is based on image, income, and social status. Moreover, with regards to physical appearance, in red pill ideology, muscular male bodies are representative of a tough, invulnerable version of masculinity, or the ideal form of masculinity in these people's eyes, while non-muscular male bodies are associated with vulnerability and not adhering to preconceived notions of masculinity, and rather more representative of femininity in these people's eyes.
It's weird that they're, like, upset also that, like there is some truth, I feel like, to that, like, yes, like, women have, like, preferences on, like, the looks of people, as if, but they say it as if, like, men, like, don't care what the women look like that they're, like, attracted to. It's,
yeah.
Like, it's just, like, what?
That is such a good point. Well, no, I was even thinking back. Most of the women that I know don't want these, like, hyper-masculine men. Mostly because they don't really respect women. But...
yeah.
It's, like, funny because, yeah, they have,
like,
these...
an alpha male is, like, a misogynist.
No, literally, like, and women, the women I know, at least, don't want to be with misogynists. Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know where, what's happening? But actually, on that note, incels do believe that women do entertain beta males, which are the opposite of alpha males. But they only do so to exploit them emotionally or financially. On that note, let's talk about how men view women in incel ideology. In red pill ideology, women are basically viewed as domineering, manipulative, and conniving, withholding sex as a means of controlling men or obtaining resources while giving little back in return. Conversely, men are viewed as rational, honorable, and the victims of women. Red pill ideology also views feminism as toxic propaganda that makes women unavailable to men. Moreover, the ideology upholds that feminism has promoted women's freedom to a degree that men are now discriminated against in society. Interestingly as well, according to the NIH, incels score more highly than non-incels on measures of sexual entitlement.
Okay, so let's talk about why these ideologies spread. Basically, a lot of times they spread, since they're online, the manosphere exists mostly or almost entirely online. I looked at a few studies about social media and how the algorithm sort of like suggests different videos. I came across conflicting information because one study talked about how the YouTube algorithm recommends left-leaning stuff. Another one talked about how the YouTube algorithm is more likely to recommend right-wing and religious content. So that like wasn't very conclusive, but I definitely have like heard about the YouTube algorithms. Like I remember learning about in a class in college about like the YouTube algorithm, specifically YouTube, sending people down a red pill sort of pipeline. And personally, on Instagram Reels recently, since the election actually, I've been getting like tons of like right-wing, like misogynistic or like homophobic, like transphobic, different like things like that, which...
Instagram, you got the wrong bitch.
No, literally. But I was like, interesting that Mark Zuckerberg was at the inauguration, mm-hmm. and now Instagram is red-pilling me. Don't worry, I'm not buying in. Another article that I looked at is called Gamers, Memes, and Incels, A Review of Online Anti-Feminism and Misogyny by Ethan Koster. And this article talks about sort of how radicalization can happen through memes and things, which I remember in middle school seeing like on YouTube, like feminist cringe compilation, like liberals get owned, like that sort of video. So they were trying to red pill me in middle school.
Yeah, for real.
Damn. And the like memification of like the misogyny sort of just like makes fun of these subjects, and when it's turned into humor, then people don't really like think about the impact or like the harm that they do. It just sort of deflects like any critical thought because of the humor. It also talks about how gaming communities tend to be male dominated and the misogyny goes unchecked in those spaces for the most part, especially because it's like a lot of times is jokes. And it also just talks about how there's such a broad range of ages in like gaming communities for the most part. So even like young kids that are like in these like gaming chat rooms are hearing this, maybe like taking in this sort of like red pilling or like misogynistic information from a really young age, which is pretty scary.
Yeah, they're basically being radicalized without even knowing what it means.
Right, because it's like all in the form of a joke, so it seems like harmless, or it's like that sort of thing where everyone's like, it's a joke, chill. Yeah. After they say something like super fucked up.
Yeah.
So, and in these communities, feminism is also heavily twisted. It basically, like, the idea in these communities is that feminism is like trying to flip the oppression so that women are like oppressing men. And yeah, and so that's like obviously a harmful idea that does not hold any like truth to it. And then lastly, just thinking about like social media personalities and stuff, one that came to mind was Andrew Tate, who gained a lot of popularity. He had like millions, and I think I saw like 8 million Twitter followers. Jeez. And just like
too many.
Yeah, literally talking about like promoting violence towards women, literally actually was arrested for sexual violence and sex trafficking in like Romania, I think. Mm-hmm. He's also a self-proclaimed misogynist. So yeah, and I like anecdotally, I heard like from a friend that at the high school we went to, that some of the teachers were like hearing like kids like spouting like Andrew Tate like quotes and stuff. And I remember even seeing on Instagram like this guy that I went to high school with posting like a gym workout video and then putting like Andrew Tate like speech behind the video. And I was like, good grief. I DM'd him and I was like, did you know he was arrested for sex trafficking? And he was like, no, like I just like the motivational idea he was saying.
Can we maybe not?
I was like, come on now.
Can we not give him a platform maybe?
Yeah.
How about that?
So now that we've kind of gone over how these ideologies spread. We're going to talk about why young men specifically are vulnerable to incel ideologies in the manosphere. And I'll be getting this information from Swallowing and Spitting Out the Red Pill, Young Men, Vulnerability and Radicalization Pathways in the Manosphere. Essentially, they found that young men are drawn to extremist groups such as the manosphere not because of preconceived ideological beliefs, but rather because they seek a sense of identity and community and want to prove their masculinity. I found this really interesting because I went into this believing that most people that get involved with the manosphere already have preconceived misogynistic notions or have those ideologies. So to find out that that is in some cases not occurring, or at the very least they don't have extremist misogynistic views, is very interesting to me. And it really goes to show the rabbit hole that occurs with regards to radicalization in this community specifically. But yeah. It's also kind of sad, I don't know, that like this is where young men are turning to find community.
Yeah. On a similar note, I listened to an interview on NPR called Masculinity and U.S. Extremism, What Makes Young Men Vulnerable to Toxic Ideologies. So this guy named Tony McAllier gets interviewed, and he isn't an incel or a red-pilled person, but he was in a white supremacist group, and it holds some parallels to what we're talking about, so I thought it would be like an important specific example, basically. And it sort of talks about how he was like roped into it. He actually wasn't roped into it. He like sought it out, he said in the interview, which I'll talk about. But he was raised in a middle class family, and then at some point he saw his dad cheating on his mom and became rebellious. One of the things he did to rebel was start getting bad grades, and then he started getting hit by his parents in order to like beat the good grades into him, is sort of what he said.
Yeah, that always works.
And then this led him to feeling really powerless, and what he saw in these neo-Nazi extremist groups was a toughness and power that he wanted to feel himself. And so basically the idea of befriend the bully, become the bully, is what he talked about as his survival strategy. And this is a common psychological defense mechanism called identification, which was coined by none other than Sigmund Freud. But yeah, so basically like becoming the harmful thing that was hurting you. And one of the quotes I pulled, he said, "When I was with them, I was safe," which was just like shocking to hear that he was finding his safety and belonging in an extremist group. And what ended up turning this around for him was when he had kids, just experiencing the unconditional love from his children and feeling the belonging there in like a healthy environment helped him see that the hate group was not something that he needed. And he says, "When we're compassionate with someone, we hold up a mirror and allow them to see their humanity reflected back at them when they're incapable of seeing it on their own." And it seems like he was like pretty fortunate in this situation to have the compassion to turn that around for him, because it's understandable that a lot of people in these communities may not have an external source of compassion like that when they're like espousing these like misogynistic or like super hateful ideas. Like most people are, that's going to be like really upsetting to most people, obviously. And so, but that was just interesting to hear about. And then he founded a group called Life After Hate to help other people who had left extremist groups. I also read a book that sort of called He, She, They, How We Talk About Gender and Why It Matters by Skylar Baylor, and he talks about toxic masculinity and just like how that allows men a pretty narrow range to express themselves emotionally and to be vulnerable. And so that sort of helped inform for me one of the reasons why the finding belonging in community is coming from this like hardened, like violent extremist group rather than like expressing your emotions in a vulnerable way, because that isn't as supported, I guess. Or it's just like strange to hear that that felt like the best option to find community. Pretty sad, actually, that that's,
yeah, that's extremely sad,
the environment that we are in. And then another article which I looked at, which is from the NIH, it's called Involuntary Celibacy: A Review of Incel Ideology and Experiences with Dating Rejection and Associated Mental Health and Emotional Sequelae. And this one actually was pretty interesting on giving some background for like the some of the mental health experiences that incels talk about. It says, "Incels represent a high need group with respect to clinical symptoms and overall well-being. They experience considerable duress on account of their singlehood, report that their low self-esteem is contingent on their relationship status, and are both sensitive to rejection and experience a lot of it." And then basically like when an incel experiences rejection and they put the blame on women, it sort of like, then they're rejected and then they double down on that belief, and then it's just like this sort of a cycle until maybe they get blackpilled, in which case maybe they stop trying in general and just accept that they're like an incel. And then it's just they get wound up in this whole thing that they consider to be reality when it's not. Mm-hmm. And it talks about, externalizing the blame, putting it on women, engaging in fewer healthy coping mechanisms. And it talks about how incels report high rates of depressive and anxious symptoms and diagnoses. And it also talks about how incels are plagued with low attachment security, loneliness, and a lack of social support, which sort of humanizes them a little bit for me. Like, it makes me understand, like, more where they're coming from, that it's coming from like a place of pain, which of course it is, like the like hurt people kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was eye-opening to me, because I was not considering like that as much before. I was just like, these people are crazy, like, yeah. What the fuck, which the things that they're doing are crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely I think it's a good, this is a good place to note, we're talking about this in an educational sense, and by no means are we sympathizing with,
no, we're definitely not excusing the behavior.
Yeah, we're not excusing the behavior. We're not sympathizing with incels, rather
trying to understand where
they're trying to understand the place in which they are coming from, and maybe extending a degree of empathy. And I get how that, believe me, I'm like a strong feminist, like, and
yeah,
reading this was extremely painful to a degree, just to have to like really dive into what these people believe and how they talk online. But I think it is important to have an understanding of where this all comes from, because people are not born hateful, and we know that. So. Yeah.
Okay, so basically, to sum up why it seems that young men are vulnerable to incel ideologies, it seems like it comes from generally from like unhappiness and a want or need to find belonging and community, and a feeling of anger, maybe arising from a perceived loss of social power, like losing control over women and other groups when a patriarchy sort of like starts to shift a little bit. It's like that idea of like people that are privileged feeling oppressed when they start to lose some of their privilege, which they're not being oppressed, they're just taking it that way or perceiving it that way. And also coming from like underlying misogynistic beliefs, toxic masculinity, sexual frustration, and a host of other things. It's obviously, it's a big picture, so it's a lot to try to understand it completely, and we can't completely, but that's sort of the general idea of what we gathered.
With that, we are actually going to get into testimonies from people that have entered and subsequently exited the manosphere. So I found a study, which I have referred to previously, but it was Swallowing and Spitting Out the Red Pill, Young Men, Vulnerability, and Radicalization Pathways in the Manosphere. This was a study that utilized 30 self-reported accounts of young men who engaged with and then subsequently disengaged from the Red Pill community and their experiences. The Reddit community utilized in this study notably had over 22,000 members when the study was conducted, back in 2020. For this study, sociodemographic data was limited, namely because Reddit is an anonymous platform, but researchers suggested that young men between the ages of 18 and 34 were the majority. I also want to note there is a degree of bias in this study, namely because it relies on self-reported former Red Pillars. Thus, the experiences and motivations of those included in the study very well may differ from those still involved with the community or those who chose not to share their stories. Moreover, the former Red Pillars tend to distance themselves from their previous selves in addition to downplaying their misogyny. All right, with that, let's get into the findings of the study. So notably, young men are typically not drawn to extremism because they are innately inclined to the ideology. In fact, few former Red Pillars in the study reported they subscribed to Red Pill ideology prior to entering the manosphere.
Whoa.
Yeah. Rather, many of the former Red Pillars in this study reported that either friends suggested the content to them, they were exposed to manosphere content by chance, or their social media algorithms suggested the content. Ooh. Yeah.
Something tells me that's gonna like get stronger now that all the main social media companies are like in bed with Trump.
Yeah, I could definitely see that becoming a reality in the near future, unfortunately, which is really scary. Moreover, the majority of former Red Pillars in this study identified feeling vulnerable as the key reason for being attracted to the manosphere. In this context, vulnerability refers to experiencing dating issues, relationship failures, being sexually inexperienced, or going through hardships in life. Notably, there has been a lot of feminist scholarship that has highlighted that young men feel pressure to adhere to rigid gender norms, particularly the widely accepted ideology of heterosexual masculinity, wherein sexual experience and success is attributed to masculinity. This sentiment is present throughout the former Red Pillars reports, with one stating, "I learned about pickup artists towards the end of high school. I was always friends friend-zoned and constantly peer-pressured by male friends that I needed to have sex as a young, naive guy. I listened to these pickup artists, and it all made sense.
Yeah, this kind of, like, reminds me of how, like, systems, like, patriarchy and stuff, like, fuck everyone, including men. Obviously, to varying degrees, it hurts women more.
Yeah.
But it reminds me of the idea of the mythical norm, which is a concept that was coined by Audre Lorde, I think, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And it's basically the idea that the mythical norm is, like, this unachievable, like, I guess like the ideal of privilege, which would be like a rich white heterosexual cis man that's like neurotypical, like basically someone that has like, yeah, conventionally attractive, like basically like the idea of perfection in our culture. It's like nobody is exactly, and obviously people lie at like different areas in the hierarchy, but just the idea of how the whole structure of it screws over everyone, and yet everyone continues to perpetuate it, because what are we supposed to do about it? It's like such a complex, long-lived, like,
social structure
that it's like overwhelming to think about, like, how you even begin to take that down.
Now that we've covered the initial exposure to red pill content, we're going to go over how people swallow the pill, so to say. Many former red pillers report after exposure to the content, they quickly became immersed in the manosphere. One reported, "I became obsessed with the red pill content."
Obsessed.
To the point where it would be the only content I watched on YouTube. And overall, yeah, it's bad. Overall, I absorbed the propaganda and swore to myself I would never get into a relationship in my life. The absorption into the manosphere is quick, particularly due to social media algorithms that boost content based on what it believes its users would enjoy, effectively creating an echo chamber of sorts in which it becomes less and less likely to be exposed to content that challenges their ideologies, which...
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, this is kind of clearing up the ambiguity earlier about whether or not the algorithm red pills you.
Yeah. I feel like it definitely, like, because even going on our own social medias, yeah, our algorithms are catered to us. Like, I don't get red pill content because I don't consume any of it.
I'm getting red pilled, so it's happening, people. It's happening.
Yeah. Not only that, but red pillers are sucked in by the so-and-so science that supports their ideologies. In essence, red pillers believe in hypergamy, which is, in essence, argues evolutionary psychology as the basis of women's predisposition to prefer alpha men. Thus, those who do not fit the alpha male structure can pin their lack of success with women on their genetic or social predisposition rather than other factors about themselves that may well be the reason for their lack of success with women. So,
perhaps,
yeah,
that you're spouting raging misogyny, yeah, might be turning away women.
Or just, yeah, the fact that red pillars, like, utilize so-called science to base all their facts, yeah, in. Because a straight to, like, white man science. Loves statistics. Loves some science to be thrown in there. To, like, base... And that's... I don't know. It's crazy.
To twist and make it sound like what you want when it's not at all that way.
Literally. Going back to the low self-esteem thing that we were talking about earlier, many red pillars report struggling with low self-esteem prior to their involvement with the manosphere. One reporting, "I struggled with my image a lot with relating to women, TRP, the red pill, clowns whom they claim to be betas and insinuate only affluent muscular men are worth a damn. I used to buy into this and began hitting the gym and pursuing martial arts. However, not being able to achieve the alpha status at times made me feel like less of a man. I used to believe because I was not TRP's vision of a desirable man that any time a woman showed me attention, it must have been because she saw me as weak and sought to exploit me as her beta." Yeah.
She sought to dom you.
Literally. Notably, TRP ideology conditioned this former red pillar to believe that because he did not fit the alpha ideal, any woman that showed interest in him had an ulterior motive to exploit him, which so toxic.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Let's give people the benefit of the doubt sometimes.
Yeah, please. This report
Let's not always. Read the vibes.
Read the room. This report found that the manosphere and red pill ideology actually escalated the vulnerabilities of the former red pillars studied rather than improve their outcomes as promised. The former reported that during their time in the manosphere, their paranoia regarding women worsened and their awareness of not achieving TRP's standards of masculinity was also exacerbated, which subsequently had an even greater impact on their self-reported vulnerabilities and low self-esteem.
Shocker.
Yeah.
When you're in an echo chamber of people saying, women hate you, you're bad unless you're a Chad, like, that's not going to do wonders for your self-esteem.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Honestly, I can only imagine how, like, a few thousand straight men interacting with each other could go positively. I don't even think that could go positively, if I'm being so real.
It's like a frat.
Literally. All right, so now that we've kind of covered how people get involved with it and get sucked into the echo chamber, we're going to go over how these former Red Pillars got out of it. Within the 30 former Red Pillar subjects of this study, their reasonings for leaving did vary. Some reported discovering significant holes in the Red Pill ideology. Shocker. For example, one reported noticing how his brother, who did not display alpha male attributes, was in a loving relationship with a woman who cared deeply about him, despite his lack of capital, social influence, and alpha physical attributes. Moreover, another former Red Pillar reported realizing the sentiment, all women are like that, which is a common Red Pillar sentiment, was a gross oversimplification, stating, they keep saying, trust no woman, AWALTS, which is the abbreviation, which just seemed ridiculous to me. How can half of the population even behave the same way? Just like men, every woman has an individual personality. It should be noted as well that de-radicalization is not always an undeviating process, but rather many former Red Pillars continue to uphold some of the beliefs of TRP or even return back to the manosphere after initially exiting. One former stated...
Not the relapse.
Yeah, literally a relapse into Red Pill. One former stated... Even though I despise the misogyny of the Red Pill, I cannot help but still believe in its normative views. I do not want to think it is true, but my feelings do not make it less accurate. Another former Red Pillar stated, once I unlearned the Red Pill, I felt like the damage had already been done, as it's irreversible now. I trained my brain so well that I cannot feel romantic attraction to anyone now.
Whoa.
Yeah. I want to make another important note that many radicalization scholars have discovered that despite an individual's disengagement from an extremist group, they still may uphold the fundamental extremist ideologies. Additionally, with regards to TRP ideology specifically, deprogramming misogynistic beliefs can be viewed as more complicated, namely because misogyny and sexism are widely integrated and accepted in Western social institutions.
Yeah, that's like part of why it's difficult to like get free of like the things that like patriarchy or like things like, yeah, like sexism, racism, all these things that like people internalize because you're in a system that supports and perpetuates that. Then it's like, how do you unlearn it when like sort of like you're implicitly like intaking that information like regularly, because that's like what the space you live in.
Yeah, literally, it's systems of oppression are present in every social institution that we are exposed to, so it's extremely difficult to separate yourself from that. And then additionally, with regards to misogyny specifically, is misogyny is extremely deeply ingrained, but also is ingrained in a way that it's almost subverse. So people don't, like, they'll make jokes about women and not realize that it's actually misogynistic.
Right.
And they get away with it. So it's like these people are operating in a society that basically embraces misogyny.
Yeah.
So they can deprogram themselves to a degree, but they are still most likely inherently misogynistic because they're operating within a misogynistic society. I also want to make a note that many of the formers view themselves as a victim of TRP rather than an active, cognizant participant. This victim mentality is similar to the sentiment that many of these formers felt once initially entering the manosphere, in which they were the victims of women. This mentality allows the formers to distance themselves from their participation in and upholding of misogynistic ideologies. With one former Red Pillar stating, I've just been lying in bed thinking about how much Red Pill crap I ate up for a while. It's just a bunch of cynics being cynical. This quote is not only an example of a former distancing themselves from their past with an extremist ideological group, but minimizes the implications of their participation in spreading extremist misogynistic rhetoric.
Yeah, so it's like dodging the responsibility and then just like saying it's not as bad as you think, kind of.
Yeah. Kind of continually painting themselves as a victim, basically.
Right.
And we see this throughout the 30 respondents that were studied, that they didn't really take responsibility for their participation in upholding misogynistic ideologies and spreading them, but rather painting themselves as a victim of TRP. And that is not to say that TRP is not inherently vicious and seeks to rope people in and radicalize young men that are at a predisposition and are feeling extremely vulnerable and insecure and lack community. That I can understand, but it also is absolutely never an excuse to not take responsibility for the systems of oppression that you were upholding actively and cognitively.
Yeah, it's like not like black and white. Like, you are, it's not like you are responsible or you're not. Like, some things pulled you in and you made the decisions and are responsible for what you did.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, so just like looking at the impacts of this, it's kind of like everyone loses, because the incels are unhappy in the first place. That's what, like, how they get red-pilled and stuff, and then they don't find any freedom from it because they get red-pilled or black-pilled, and then they just like accept their situation and as something that isn't going to change. And then also everyone loses because they perpetuate these harmful beliefs, particularly against women, but also like other racial groups and things, like in the other extremist groups that are connected to incel groups, like white supremacist groups and things like that. And these things can lead to violence. One article that I read from UCLA talks about how most incels will not perpetrate a mass shooting most of them are against the use of violence, but the toxic collision of aggrieved entitlement and the easy availability of guns suggests that without significant changes in masculinity, the tragedies will continue. And looking at the article where we gathered the definitions from, they also talked about how mass casualty incel attacks have led the security services in the United States, Canada, and the UK to classify incels as a violent extremist threat, which is not to say that all incels are violent, but there is clearly a connection that they have noted. And so, yeah, it's just like there's a lot of horrible impacts here, and it's hard to know how to like ameliorate the issue.
Yeah, definitely. And it's definitely really difficult. I think, I mean, one way definitely is, well, taking down the patriarchy. And that is no easy task. Because in reality, the patriarchy is at the root of this issue of men not feeling like they can live up to socially constructed ideals of masculinity. And then they continue to feel emasculated, and then this red pilling community continues to further emasculate them, breaking down their self-esteem, making them feel more vulnerable, and giving them a community that is in essence abusive, because it continually is breaking them down. And it just kind of goes to show, like, honestly, how important community is. And like, I'm not going to sit here and be on my like white straight man high horse, but in reality, like, they lack a true sense of community, because societally speaking, community is not emphasized for straight cis men at all.
Yeah, and like the expression of the difficult things that they're going through that lead them to like really need this like sense of belonging, or this like they don't have the outlet to talk about their emotions, or the ability, or a lot. And yeah, and so it just like leaves them in this vulnerable position. So any men listening, talk about your emotions.
Please, please, we go to therapy. Like, we all want to hear about how you feel. I promise. We really do. But
and this is, the majority of men are not incels.
Yeah.
So, but it's obviously still an issue. It's just that, and I think things are shifting. Like, I definitely see men talking more about their emotions, and like therapy is becoming more common and more acceptable, at least where we live.
Yeah.
It's still not very accessible, but yeah, everyone has feelings. Like,
yeah,
we can be open about them. Obviously, it's harder for some people than others. It depends on the environment, but yeah, it takes some courage to do. But,
yeah, and it definitely
goes a long way.
It does. It totally does. And yeah, just, we talked about in the last episode, it all goes back to creating community. They're like, we need to find a way in society to create communities for people that are actually beneficial and not detrimental, as in the red pill community. But unfortunately, that is like, we're in a place in society in which that is the
primary community for men that are feeling vulnerable and have low self-esteem and are experiencing hardship with women, and we need to shift that.
Yeah, the current administration is not going to be helpful in that.
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not.
And yeah, so I don't know. I think it's going to be hard times for a while.
Yeah.
But we do what we can.
We do what we can. We persevere.
We rock climb.
We rock climb to deal with the horrors, to get our anger out.
And with that, thank you to all four of you who are listening. We hope love you enjoyed you. This. We love you. If you have any ideas, feel free to let us know. If you have anything that you want us to talk about, we would love to hear about it. Or any ideas about what we talked about.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely, if you want to leave some feedback or there's a topic that you want to hear more about and want us to research,
we would love to learn about it too.
Yeah.
We hope you learned something.
All right. Catch you all next Thursday. And may you scrape by with ease.